Good to be with you again and to bring the greetings of the church in Barnstable. We pray for you every week and I know you hold us in your prayers too. Turning back to Psalm 91 this morning. This Psalm 91 is such a precious psalm to many people. It became very precious to us in Barnstable at the beginning of the pandemic in 2020. In the thinking of God's word and how he does so much for us and he helps us during that difficult time. Although now we are still feeling the effects of the pandemic, the plague, as sometimes it's called. And there are several reasons for the people of God, for Christians, to believe in the Lord God, according to this psalm. We can have the warm and comforting promise of privacy in our relationship with the Lord God. The first verse says that, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, shall stay under the shadow of the Almighty. What a place that is, the shadow of the Almighty, to be protected, to be helped, to be cared for by the living God himself, to abide there, to stay there. It is the secret place, it is the place of an individual human being, a Christian person who knows that relationship with God, and it is a precious place to be. The Saviour whose wings overshadows his people, he is there. But today I want us to think and to focus on the second verse of the psalm. Because we can see the psalmist's own experience of perseverance as he trusted in the Lord his God. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And so the second verse speaks of a refuge and a fortress. It's something which is reflected in Luther's great hymn, a safe stronghold our God is still, a trusty shield and weapon. He'll help us clear from all the ill that hath us now o'ertaken. And that is a word of perseverance. So what is perseverance? The psalmist tells us in the text this morning. And for us, from this text, as we look at what God says in the word, there's three things that tell us about perseverance. There is persistence. I will say of the Lord. Secondly, there's security. He is my refuge and my fortress. And thirdly, my confidence. My God, in him will I trust. Persistence, security, and confidence. Now there are probably more features of perseverance that we could suggest and think about or talk about, but in this text, and we stick to the text, we can highlight three, these three, that actually will be a help to us when we most need it. And we've been given grace to persevere and in some cases get around the isolation that we have experienced in the last almost 2 years. We have had email, and we've had Zoom, and we've had YouTube, and we've had brothers and sisters that can phone us up and to see if we're all right during the lockdown. And even though it seems a bit better at the moment, yet there has still been that persevering love one for another as believers. But we are still going to need more of God's grace to endure. And Christian perseverance then is part of the answer. We can't just come to the end of the plague and say, that's it, we're fine now, we're out of it all. No, I think there's more to come yet. Not necessarily, I'm no prophet, but still there is need to be careful and to be trusting in the Lord in perseverance. So we'll meditate on these words in verse 2 of this 91st Psalm and start, first of all, with persistence. I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. One definition of perseverance is to keep making an effort despite difficulties. Keep making an effort despite difficulties. Now that would certainly be a psychologist or sociologist definition. But you notice it leaves the Lord out of the equation. It says, I can do it myself. I can persevere myself. I can be that one that does what's needed to be done just myself. But the Christian says something else. The Christian says, I will say of the Lord. I will say of the Lord. Not of myself, of my efforts alone. I will say of the Lord. I will give credit to the Lord God Jehovah and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Credit for my life, credit for what he has done for me, credit for saving me, credit for keeping me, and now credit for helping me to persevere. He is providing for me. And so we can say that often as Christians, persisting in the face of a hostile world. This hostile world which rejects the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And whatever others may say, however others may deride my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the faith that we read about earlier on from Hebrews chapter 11, whatever the unbelieving world likes to think about religion, religious folk, the Christian faith, what am I going to do as a Christian? I will say something of the Lord my God. Because I have something to say. That is the point. And he or she who has the genuine experience of the fruit of faith, people who are real believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just nominal ones or even church attenders, but real believers in Christ, know what it is to be born again, who have trusted in the Christ, who went to the cross at Calvary to save them from their sins, those believers are the fittest people to bear witness of it. I will say of the Lord. I will persist in it. Now you can try to say this with your lips. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Perhaps you sang it in the Sunday school even before you were converted. Or in a young people's meeting or even as an adult. I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. But the words can be found quite easily. But what counts is your sincerity. Because you see, you can't be persistent without being sincere. I wonder if you've truly met the Lord Jesus Christ today, my friend. Here we are on a Sunday morning service, where the saints love to gather, where the Christians like to come. But amongst us there are those who would not be able to say, yes, Jesus is my Saviour. And so I challenge you this morning, just briefly. Come and hear the gospel tonight to hear more. But just a brief challenge to you this morning. Are you able to speak about your own experience of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? See, testimony is a wonderful thing. And it's a means of proclaiming the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to have theological expertise. You don't have to have all the right spiritual language necessarily. What you need is sincere faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell them your story. You say how it is with your soul and what he has done for your soul. Persist with your own personal histories. Why we sang that hymn a moment ago? Because of John Kenick's excellent testimony in that hymn. Jesus, my all to heaven has gone. He whom I rest my hopes upon, his way I see and I'll pursue the heavenward way till him I view. It is of him of faith and an experience of persistence, of continuation, of perseverance. And he outlines his experience here in this poetic way in our hymn and then finalizes it with his testimony in that last verse. Now I will tell to all around of the dear Saviour I have found. I'll point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. And yes, John Kenick was a preacher. But he actually was able to, in a simple way, speak of his Saviour by way of testimony and simply and honestly and perseveringly, persistently, And my dear brother and sister, you can do the same. You don't have to have some prepared tract, although they're very useful. You don't have to have some treatise that you need to refer to. Tell them what Jesus has done for your soul. Tell them how he has changed your soul and made you into a new person, a new man, new woman, new boy, new girl. And things have changed in you and you're able to say so. You can refer to what it used to be like when you were a sinner in the world and you did not have any love for Jesus. And now you have, because he has loved you. He has found you, as we heard earlier on. You're like that coin that was found by the woman by persistence. You're like that sheep that was found because the shepherd went and persisted to find the lost one. And like that son, when the father prayed and he returned, he was lost and was found. And you could say that. I was lost. I was lost in the world, but now I'm found. And Jesus has saved me. And it's made all the difference to my life. Yes, we can be persistent in our testimony. It's such a great value of personal testimony. Remember the man who was born blind and was healed by the Lord Jesus. He said something so simple when he was questioned by the Pharisees, by the scribes, about Jesus. They called him a sinner. This man must be a sinner because he has healed you on a Sabbath day. And the man said, whatever you say, this is what I can say, whether he be a sinner or not. One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I can see. How simple a testimony, but how powerful a testimony that is. He knew Jesus now as the one who had saved him. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can tell others about him. Such a great value of a testimony. Well, secondly, he boldly relies on his own experience of the Lord Jesus. He was persistent to stay with it, unlike his parents who were frightened of not coming, being able to go to the synagogue anymore. And there's no disputing against experience, no arguing this man out of what had happened to him. Once he was blind, now he can see the power and grace of Christ, though he'd never had his eyes opened before. That which was from the beginning, John writes in his first letter, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, of the word of life. And in Acts 4, we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Whereas I was blind, now I see. And so in the work of grace in the soul, says Matthew Henry, though we cannot tell when and how, by what instruments and by what steps and advances, the blessed change was wrought, yet we can take the comfort of it if we say through grace, whereas I was blind, now I see. I lived a carnal and worldly life, but thanks be to God, it's now otherwise for me. This is persistence, and it's illustrated then in the way that we can testify to the Lord. I will say of the Lord, says this phrase at the beginning of verse 2. And that's what it is. That's how we apply it today. Will you be able to say that? Are you going to look for opportunities in this week that comes? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Lord, lead me to someone that I can tell my story to. Help me to find situations where I will have that opportunity and to speak of my Saviour whom I love, and that they may listen and hear of what a great Saviour has found me. Well then, secondly, our text speaks of security. First of all, then, we've had the persistence, and the perseverance continues now with security. The second phrase, he is my refuge and my fortress. He is my refuge and my fortress. A refuge is a safe place. We can go across a main road sometimes and find in the middle of the road one of those little islands that have got a keep left sign, and it's raised up, and it's called a refuge, that we can get refuge in the middle of a busy road. In Israel, there were six cities called cities of refuge where a manslayer, a murderer could go, or a manslaughterer could go and find safety. Charles Wesley, shortly after his conversion in 1738, he sat one summer day in his study, and a little bird came into his study being chased by a hawk, and it actually buried itself in his jacket, right in the pocket of his jacket. It was a hot day. And an incident, it led to the familiar hymn, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly." A refuge. That little bird found refuge in that place. And then he says, "Other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee." Places of refuge. King David knew of places of refuge. He knew of caves. There was a cave of Adullam. There were the places of En-Gedi. There was the town of Ziklag when he and his men were able to find refuge when he was in exile amongst the Philistines. And it was David's habit, as he trusted in the Lord, to speak to him personally. Notice the personal pronouns here in this text. "I will say, my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust." When you have a relationship with the Lord, there's nothing wrong with that, using that first person, because it is indicative of your relationship with him. It's not a shared relationship, it's an individual one. And David was often chased and threatened. But he seemed, in all these situations, as we read through the scriptures and the historical books, and even in his Psalms, we can see that inner security that David experienced, because he knew where to find refuge in the Lord, where there was none to talk to except the Lord. That's what we need when we're on our own and we're finding it not just lonely, but wondering what we're going to do. No one around to help. If we're in Christ, we still have the Lord to speak to. We can even speak to him out loud. No one else will hear. Just talk to him. He is that sort of Saviour who will listen. And he is always there. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He has promised that to us. And so we can go there. "I will trust," says David here. Remember how it started in the fields with the sheep. He had no one else to talk to except the sheep, except the Lord. He had Jehovah. And he did talk to him. He learned it. And he had that specific purpose. He was driven to the Lord. "My God, my Saviour." And then we are to speak to the Lord and to be driven to him, because that place can be a perfect refuge when the Lord Jesus Christ is there. And he can be there when his children are there, inhabited by the Holy Spirit. There is a lovely poem by W.E. Earle that speaks of the Lord Jesus. "O lovely man, none can with thee compare, my hiding place from every wind that blows. In thee my heart is free from anxious care. I know thy love to me unceasing flows." He calls him "my covert, a safe place from the wild and stormy blast, whose fury would my trusting soul alarm. In thee I shelter till the storm is past. Safe in thy keeping, naught can do me harm." And he comes to the end. "Thou rock of ages, in thee is my rest. Beneath thy shadow in a weary land, a pilgrim on my way, supremely blessed, to thee above, whose love the way has planned." How good it is, with this sort of experience, to find a refuge in the Lord. And we are those who have fled to him for refuge. That's what every Christian has done. There's nowhere else to go. How often we've seen young children, they meet someone out in the street and they've been walking along, and you meet a stranger or someone that you're not sure about. And where does the child fly? Child says, hold on to his father's coattails or his mother's coat, because that's the safe place. Comes to a refuge, a place where they can feel safe, near the mother or father, clinging, knowing that where the parent's presence is, there is safety, a refuge from things that can harm. There is a place in America where there are no mobile phone signals. You might think that's rather wonderful. But it's a place where, in West Virginia, in Green Banks, where there's a big telescope, and there's no electromagnetic signals allowed around it, and so it's a non-mobile place. And there are some people who have moved there because they believe they have a condition called electromagnetic hypersensitivity. World Health Organization hasn't acknowledged that as a condition. But while this is all being worked out, the medical world, those who sincerely believe they suffer from it, they've all gone to this place where there is no electromagnetic activity. And it's a place of refuge for them. They feel it's a refuge. And you're probably not worried about that. But there is one great affliction that we do share, which is the harmful presence of sin. Unfortunately, just as it's possible to find refuge from those signals, there is a refuge for the sinner. And the Bible tells us about that. For God hath made him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's our refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. The best refuge we could ever find. In him who takes away our sin, who has done that, who forgives us, who continues to care for us. He took his sins upon our sins upon himself. Wonderful. Refuge from its power. So he is my refuge. He is my security. He's my fortress too, it says in this text. We're living in the UK, we know of lots of ancient fortresses from the various kings down the centuries who have set up places where they will be safe. They can garrison their soldiers, dating back sometimes to the Middle Ages, and barracks and secure places. We know of them, Tower of London, Carnarvon Castle, and so. For David, the mountain of Zion was his refuge, became his headquarters, as we know. And it continued to be a refuge for the people of Israel until the sieges and then the breaking down of the walls and the temple when the Babylonians came. But we all need security. We need that fortress. The fortress is actually different to a refuge. The refuge was a quiet and secure place. Fortress is a place of defense against foes. Such a place is strong to resist the attacks of the opposing forces. And we all have enemies. Principally, the Christian's enemies are within our own soul. And we have those remnants of the old nature involved in the good fight of faith then, the spiritual warfare. And it's then that the Lord God is the stronghold for us, for his people. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. You'll know that text from the prophet Nahum. And he knoweth them that trust in him. Such wonderful security that we have as believers. And well, David knew it, didn't he? So we can too. Again, Psalm 140, verse 7. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. When God cares for us, with his protection, we are virtually invulnerable. The life storms, there they come, and they batter us. And yet, we have a quiet place. Psalm 57. Be merciful unto me, O God. O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Let's not overlook what else the psalmist is saying. Yes, he speaks of a refuge and a fortress. Tangible, solid, dependable entities. But next we turn to a physical security. From physical security to something else. Our third thought from this text. Confidence. My God, in him will I trust. I will say of the Lord, testimony, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. My God here is Elohim, the supreme God. The Lord is his God, that is David's God as he speaks. He's the object of his worship. God is the one who is worthy of his obedience and affection. of his reverence and confidence, all praise and glory he comes. My God, that's what it means there. In him will I trust. He is expressed in his resolve to trust the Lord God and no other. What is he doing? He's leaving his interests in God's hands. My God, in him will I trust. Now this is not easy. It's not easy because as human beings we are so self-reliant, self-resourceful. We try to go it alone. If you examine your own heart, you know you do. We all have that temptation to do our own thing. But if we're prepared to believe in God's power and his goodness and his faithfulness, then we can trust him, confiding in him, not just as our refuge, not just as our fortress, but as our God. My God. These are the big three then, from this text. And there's no strength or encouragement to be drawn from the believing in the Lord as a refuge and fortress unless we realize that we have an interest and relationship to him, my God. And it was said in the first point, we need to know the Lord to profit from his provisions. When our faith is strong, and we claim God and our God in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, then we can appreciate fully the refuge and fortress. And then we can declare our confidence by saying so. I will say of the Lord. What can we say? What can you say, my friend? What can you heartily say and sincerely say these words of Paul? Can you say with Paul, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I know, you can say, do you know? Confidence is what you need to speak for the Lord Jesus. It's no good saying, well, I'm no good at speaking. I just can't do that. We can all say something for our Saviour. The duty of every believer is to go. And to go on in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that when we have confidence in the author and finisher of our faith. And part of our problem is we say, I've lost confidence in myself. Well, that's a good thing. You need confidence in him. The current pandemic situation is an opportunity, actually, for every believer in our Saviour to persistently trust in the security that he gives. And to press on with confidence that he does all things well. And to believe the promises. Oh, how many there are of them. There are over 1,800 in the Bible, you know. 1,100 of them in the Old Testament. Around 700 odd in the New Testament. Promises of God. And we can get hold of them and use them. And believe them. And take them. We are trusting thee, Lord Jesus. We are trusting only thee when we come in confidence to him. And as we close this morning, there's an account of the Spanish flu pandemic of 1918. The man called Francis James Grimke was a Presbyterian minister in Washington, D.C. And he preached a sermon on the 3rd of November, 1918, shortly after the epidemic had passed. He said this, there's only one other thought that has come to me in connection with this epidemic. It is of the blessedness of religion, of the sense of security which a true, living, working faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives one in the midst of life's perils. I felt, as doubtless you all felt who are Christians, the blessedness of a firm grip on Jesus Christ, the blessedness of realizing sense of being anchored in God and in his precious promises. And while the plague was raging, while thousands were dying, what a comfort it was to feel that we were in the hands of a loving Father who was looking out for us, who had given us the great assurance that all things should work together for our good. And therefore, that come what would, whether we were smitten with the epidemic or not, or whether being smitten we survived or perished, we knew it would be well with us, that there was no reason to be alarmed. Even if death came, we knew it was all right. And the apostle says, to die is gain. Death had no terrors for the apostle Paul. He says, the hour of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of glory, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give at that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing. Is that confidence or not? It is. A remarkable confidence. And it's not just confined to a man like Paul, but to you and me, dear brother and sister, in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same apostle who flung in the face of death the defiance. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the presence of such faith, in the realization of the wonderful love of the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with him, what confidence we can have. What are life's troubles and a pandemic and difficulties when in the face of all that we have a Saviour? What are sufferings and disappointments? They only tend to work out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But of course, if faith is to help us, if it is to put its strong arms under us, if we're to feel its sustaining power, we need to come to the Word of God, even in distressing circumstances. And it must be real, living faith in God. Any other faith is of absolutely no value to us in the midst of great crises of life. And so it is a good time for those of us who are Christians again to reevaluate and to notice God's word and to take hold of God's word and to take it at his word. To eventually, if we do and when we do come out of the pandemic, that we will come more determined than ever to run with patience the race that is before us. Because we can go to Psalm 91 and verse 2 and say, I will say of the Lord, I will have a testimony, I will be able to say how he helped me during this time. And even though there were difficulties, they were not so great that he wasn't able to cope with them. That there is, I can say in my testimony, you can say in your testimony, there is no temptation, no trial such as is common to man that Jesus doesn't know about. But God is faithful, and he will, with that trial, make a way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. I will say of the Lord, and he has done that. And we will look back and say, oh, the Lord helped, even through the most trying difficulties and circumstances. I will say it of him. I will say that he was my refuge, and he was my strength, and he was my fortress. And most of all, that through all these trials and difficulties, I have found him to be my God. In him have I trusted. In him I will trust today. And in him I will trust in the future, for the rest of this life that I live. Persistence, I will say of the Lord. Security, he is my refuge and my fortress. And confidence, my God, in him will I trust. He is such a dear Saviour. Look to him today. Remind yourself of what he has done on the cross. Remind yourself of those sins that he has forgiven utterly and finished with, and the new life that you have in him. May he be, all of us, my God today. For Jesus' sake, let's pray together. O Lord, we thank thee for thy word and bless thee, that we can look at what thou hast said and what thou hast done in the Lord Jesus Christ, that thou art able to help us to trust thee with all our hearts, and not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge thee, that thou shalt direct our paths. We are weak, O Lord, but thou art strong. We, Lord, feel so insignificant, but thou art mighty, and that thou hast done for us great things whereof we are glad. Grant us thy help today. Help us to apply thy word to our present circumstances, and may the Lord Jesus Christ be honoured and glorified until we see him in heaven, then forevermore. Amen.